Do you ever find yourself complaining about the weather, regardless of what season it is? Hun, can you throw me an extra blanket? I'm so over this cold weather. Achoo! Oh, great. And I just ran out of allergy meds. Ugh, how can the thermometer possibly go that high? Oh, would you look at that? Mr. Sanders' leaves just blew into our yard again. And guess who's going to have to rake them? Just like the four seasons, we can experience many seasons in our own lives. But instead of complaining, what if we saw them as opportunities?
There is a time for things to be repaired. There is a time, there is a season, there's a period of our lives designated by God to heal.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp, a ministry of Sligo Seventh-day Adventist Church in Tacoma Park, Maryland. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. Just as in nature, God has provided various seasons in our own lives. This week, Charles Tapp encourages you, in whatever season of life you're currently facing, to follow the prescription God offers that provides a pathway to healing. As he shares his message, a time to heal.
Because of the unseasonably warm weather that we've been experiencing here in the DMV, I, not unlike many of you, have been spending a great deal of time in my yard, not planting flowers, but raking leaves. Now, if I'm going to be honest with you, although I love working in my yard, you know that, I have to admit that raking leaves has always been my least favorite yard activity. As a matter of fact, one of the biggest arguments I can remember having with my father when I was a child over this thing, or this issue of raking leaves. Truth be told, I would rather spend an entire day pulling and plucking out weeds than raking leaves in my yard. I remember just last week I was out there raking leaves and the leaves were defeating me. And then my neighbor from across the street came to my rescue with his gasoline-powered leaf blower and saved the day. But don't you know, as fate would have it, in less than 2 days after ridding my yard of all these leaves, I had several bags full, again, it was blanketed by leaves. But as we all know, the falling of leaves is just one of the many signs that we are entering upon a new season of life. But just as it is at this time of year, as it is characterized by the falling of leaves, there are also occurrences in our lives, dear friends, that serve as signs that we are moving, signs that we are transitioning into a new season of life. And there is probably nowhere else in Scripture where this idea is so powerfully presented than in the third chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes is one of those unusual books in Scripture for many reasons, not the least of which is that its author, many who believe was Solomon, writes based on, as he says, not having received revelation from God, but through his own personal human observation. And this is made evident by his use of one particular phrase that he used over and over again throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, some 29 times when he would say, under the sun, under the sun, which many believe was Solomon's way of saying that his revelation is not based on what he has received from above, but the revelation that he is sharing here is based on his own human earthly observations. And if this is the case, then the question that begs to be asked is this: why was the book of Ecclesiastes included in Scripture, in the holy canon, in the inspired word of God to begin with? I heard one theologian explain it by saying this. He said, everything in the Bible is not biblical. Did you hear what I said? Everything in the Bible is not biblical. And what this theologian meant by this was that everything that is in God's inspired word, everything that is within Scripture, it has statements that either are unredeeming in nature and in some cases simply aren't true. Now, I know some of you are going, Pastor, have you lost your mind? You must be a heretic. Well, let me explain what I mean by that. In Genesis chapter 3, we have the story of Adam and Eve in the garden, where Satan approached Eve and told her that she could eat the fruit, but she would not surely die. It's in Scripture, but it's just not true. For we all know that the devil is a liar and has been a liar from the beginning of time. Look at this quote by the great theologian Dr. Lewis Sperry Schaeffer as he talks about this issue. He says, inspiration may record the untruth of Satan or of men, but it does not validate the lie or sanctify it. It secures the exact record of what was said, good or bad. So again, everything in the Bible is not biblical, but everything in the Bible is God's inspired word because God allowed it to be there for a purpose, to reprove, to instruct, to correct for righteousness' sake. Who says amen to that today? Now, with that being said, I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, as we look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. The word of God says, to everything there is what? A season, a time for every purpose, Solomon says, under the sun. Now, in Solomon's use of the word season here, he is referring to a certain time that has been appointed by God for its being, for its existence, as well as its continuance, which no human being, regardless of his or her intellect or power, has the ability to change it or alter it. You see, Solomon has made the observation that God has established specific times or seasons which influence our lives throughout our human existence. And just as you and I can't alter the seasons of the weather patterns, we are helpless when it comes to altering or adjusting the seasons of our lives. Trust me when I tell you, if we could change and move from fall back into spring, I would definitely vote for that one. I hate seeing winter coming. I know some of you love winter, but God bless you. I'll continue to pray for you. But just as the seasons, dear friends, that mark the weather patterns, winter, spring, summer, fall, are cyclical patterns which recur with unchangeable regularity, so it is, Solomon says, with the seasons of our human existence. And in verses 2 to verse 8 of Ecclesiastes of chapter 3, Solomon lists 28 activities, 28 seasons of our lives paired in 14 different groups of positive and negative that almost appear to cancel each other out, but in essence is God's way of showing balance in our lives. And before we read the list of seasons here that Solomon has compiled, it becomes clear that one of the main reasons, one of the main takeaways that we can extricate from Solomon's list is this, that as long as we continue, that's you, that's me, to live under the sun, we should always expect and anticipate this thing called change. Let's go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Let's read verses 2 to verse 8. What does Solomon say here? He says there is a time to be what? Born, and there is a time to die. There's a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. Time to kill, talking about in times of war, and a time to heal, a time to break down, but then there's also a time to build things up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. That's not a misprint. There is a time to dance. There is a time to celebrate, a time to cast away stones when you're clearing a ground. And there's a time to gather stones when you need those stones to build or erect something. There's a time to embrace, and there's a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time to gain, Solomon says, but then he also reminds us that one of the seasons of our lives will be a time of loss. It's a time to keep, and there's a time to throw away. That's one of the things we've been doing, is throwing things away in our house, trying to get rid of stuff that we really don't need. Verse 7, he says, there's a time to tear and there's a time to sew a garment. There's a time to keep silence and there's a time to speak. Oh, I wish we could learn that lesson. And verse 8, he says, there's a time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. When you read these various seasons that Solomon has outlined for us here, there's a second lesson that becomes painfully clear, and that is this, the first being anticipate and always expect change in our lives. But the second lesson that Solomon wants us to learn is this, that one of the things that determines our success when it comes to navigating the seasons of our lives, it's not just our actions within the seasons, but it's the timing of our actions. And that's why he said in verse 4, listen, there's a time to weep, but there's also a time to laugh. Now, when you and I receive the bad, sad news that a member of our family or a loved one has passed, that's not a time to laugh. That's a time to weep. And there's nothing wrong with laughing, but when you take an activity and it's out of time and you place it within the wrong season, you can cause pain not only to yourself, but to others. So Solomon says, when it's time to weep, then weep, if that's the season. But if you're in a season of celebration, that's the time to laugh. Now, there's nothing wrong with laughter. Some of us need to laugh even more. But there's something that is good. And if it's not done in the appropriate season, can prove to be harmful. And Solomon makes it clear in verse 3. That there will be seasons in our lives that are extremely painful, extremely hurtful. But then, in order to show balance, he says, we need to also acknowledge that there is a time for restoration. There is a time for things to be repaired. He says, but there is a time, there is a season, there's a period of our lives designated by God to heal.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, A Time to Heal. Simple Truths for Life is a ministry of Sligo Seventh-day Adventist Church in Tacoma Park, Maryland. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
Hi, this is Pastor Charles Tapp. We here at Simple Truths for Life would like to take this opportunity to say thank you for joining us as we continue to pray for those who are being impacted firsthand by this awful virus that has a grip not only on our nation, but the world. As one of my favorite Christian writers has said, the only thing we have to fear for the future is if we forget how God has led us in the past. So as a way to encourage you along your journey, we here at Simple Truths would like you to have a free copy of my book, Don't Wait Until the Battle is Over. Shout Now, Clinging to God in Trying Times. In this book, I share how clinging to one of God's precious promises helped me make it through one of the most difficult times in my life. So to get your free copy of Don't Wait Until the Battle is Over, just go to simpletruthforlife.org. Again, that's simpletruthforlife.org.
This is Simple Truths for Life, and this week, Charles Tapp offers encouragement in whatever season of life you're currently facing to share a prescription God offers that provides a pathway to healing. As he concludes his message, a time to heal.
2 Chronicles chapter 7. I want us to read verses 12 to 14, one of my favorite passages of scripture. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as what? A house of sacrifice. Verse 13, when I shut up heaven, this is God speaking, and there's no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. Verse 14, if my people, some of you know this verse by heart, who are called by what? My name, will humble themselves and what? Pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then God says, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and he ends by saying, I will heal their land. These events here in 2 Chronicles 7 are a repeat of what took place in 2 Chronicles 5, where Solomon is in the process of dedicating a temple. You remember the story? A temple, by the way, that David, his father, wanted to build, but God forbid him to build the temple because he said David was not a man of peace, but a man of war. And if you remember from 2 Chronicles 5 and 1 Kings chapter 7, that in the midst of God's people dedicating the temple, right after Solomon's prayer, there was a divine disruption that takes place. Well, the Bible says fire comes down from heaven, consumes the multitude of all the burnt offerings. Smoke then fills the temple to such a magnitude that the priests could not continue the dedication. And then we are told that the dedication went on for days, and finally, after the 23rd day, Solomon finally sends the people away, tells them to go home, tells them to go back to their tents and to go back with a spirit of joy and gladness in their hearts for a job well done. Now, let's pick this up again. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles 7. And I want to reread verses 12 and 14 now that you have a larger context. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer. I have chosen this place, talking about the temple, for myself as a house of sacrifice. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, dear friends, and heal their land. Wait a minute. Am I reading this right? Is God telling Solomon that after having experienced a season of great blessing, a season of great accomplishment, a season of tremendous fulfillment, that there will now be seasons of drought where there's no rain, symbolic of no presence of God's blessing, a season of destruction, and it comes by God's own hand, a season where disease will be brought in also again by God's own hands? Am I reading this right? This is exactly what God is saying to Solomon. But here's the thing. He's not just speaking to Solomon. He's speaking to you and me. For just as in Solomon's life, dear friends, there are going to be seasons either due to our own disobedience or the disobedience of others, where we will then enter a season of drought, a season of famine, a season where disease will come in and replace the season of blessing and prosperity. And God will demonstrate to a people, to a nation, to a person, his displeasure. I know this is hard to grasp because we always think of God in the context of doing things in our lives that make us happy, doing things that please us. But scripture is very clear, dear friends, that when we're in a season of prosperity, if we turn our face away from God, there will be a season of drought upon the people of God. There will be a season of famine and disease even among the nations. But in the midst of the season of God's displeasure, he provides us with a promise of a time for a season to heal, to take place in our lives. Verse 14, the most famous verse in all of Chronicles. If by chance you turn away from me, and if I take you into a season of drought and famine and disease and pestilence, if you, my people, who are called by my name, will humble yourselves, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways, then I will forgive their sins. Then I will heal their land. Dear friends, it's clear that if we turn our eyes away from the sin that has caused us to turn our eyes away from God and begin to turn our eyes back to him in a true spirit of repentance for our sins, God has promised not only to grant us forgiveness, but he also grants us a time to heal. Please don't miss this. For God hasn't just provided a time, a season for healing to take place in our lives, in the lives of his people. But this same God has also provided us with a prescription that, if followed, will give us a pathway to healing. And the pathway to healing, Solomon says, is forgiveness. Forgiveness is the pathway that can lead a people, a person, and even a nation to experience a season of healing. And this is not just in receiving forgiveness from God, dear friends, but it's also in granting this same forgiveness to others. Because it's only in granting forgiveness to others, the same forgiveness that God grants to me and to you, can we truly experience true, genuine, authentic healing in our lives. You know, when we talk about forgiving someone, I hear people say all the time, I don't feel like forgiving her. I don't feel like forgiving him. But here's the thing. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Look at this quote by Gary Chapman, famous Christian author. He says, forgiveness is not a feeling. It is what? It's a commitment. It's a choice to show what? Mercy. And there's a difference between grace and mercy. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy is God withholding from us the judgment, the punishment that we do deserve. It's not a feeling, it's a commitment. It's a choice to show mercy, not to hold the offense against the offender. Look at this last sentence. He says, forgiveness is an expression of love. And I know what some of you are thinking right now. Pastor, how can I love this person when I can't even forgive them? You're asking me to love when I can't even forgive? It's not talking about loving the person. It's talking about demonstrating your love to God by loving the person and forgiving them. You see, when you and I forgive others who have harmed us, we are demonstrating to God that we love him. And if we love God, we will forgive those whom God loves and whom God forgives. And guess what? You are one of them, and so am I. It's about forgiveness. Forgiveness is the pathway to healing. It is the pathway to experience a season of healing. So I ask you today, what season are you in? Is it a time for healing? Or maybe you want to be in a season of healing. We cannot experience healing as a nation. We cannot experience healing as a church. We cannot even experience healing as individuals until we are willing to forgive. And once we are willing to forgive and to be forgiven by God, then we can enter into a season, not a time of drought, not a time of famine, not a time of disease and pestilence, but we can enter into a time to heal. Are you in a need for healing today? Healing of your mind, your body, your spirit, your soul? Could it be that the reason you haven't experienced that healing is because you have not repented to God and received his forgiveness? Or could it be because you have not been willing to forgive someone else who has harmed you? So I challenge each and every one of us to be willing to receive forgiveness and also be willing to grant forgiveness. Because forgiveness is the prescription for a time to heal.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, A Time to Heal. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on Apple Podcasts. Just click subscribe so you don't miss any future messages. Or visit us online at simpletruthsforlife.org. Is it possible to be thankful even when it appears there's nothing to be thankful for? Next week, we hope you can plan to listen in again as Charles Tapp shares a message about being grateful, even in those difficult moments, with his message, In All Things, The Discipline in Gratitude. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.